thank you for everybody who's here watching this online. We got a nice studio audience here today. We're going to have a lot of fun. This is really one of my favorite topics in the world to talk about, because when I wrote the book, Flip the Switch, how many of you have this book, by the way? Flip the Switch. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for buying this book. This book has sold more copies for me than any book I've ever written. It only took me 17 tries to hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list, folks. So thank you for buying this book. But here's the real truth of this. People ask me, Ed Mylett asked me one day, what problem does this book solve? Right? And I said, it solves the problem of complacency. It solves the problem of how do you activate a drive inside of you every single day. How many of you struggle with inconsistency in your life? How many of you say, some days I got it, some days I'm on A game, some days I'm on my B game, some days I'm on my C game? See, what I've studied over the last 31 years is human nature. And human nature tells me we start with good intentions, and then we fall off the wagon, and then we experience guilt. That is human nature. We start because we want to do something, and we got good intention, and we come out of the gate strong, and then we fail to follow through. How many people see that? And then we experience guilt. And the guilt is associated with grief. We are grieving our lost potential. What we could have done, what we should have done, what we were capable of doing. And it is because we have kind of been sold over the years that you just got to get motivated. The word motivate means to move. Anytime you're feeling down, out. Before this morning, I went out and ran sprints here at the lodge. I'm out there doing squats. Getting ready, right? You ever see old Coach Burke get out and do squats? Get ready, right? What I'm doing is I'm moving, because when you need energy, you need to move. But motivate means to move. How many of you could come to an event, feel good about the event, say it was a great speech, get entertained at the event, and then leave here and go do absolutely nothing? How many of y'all done that before? Okay. See, you're motivated. Motivate means to move. The word inspire means to breathe life into. You can get inspired by something, but then lose that inspiration. I call it cotton candy. It tastes good for a second, and then we go back, because left to our own devices, here's what we do. We always contract to places of comfort. Humans always contract to places of comfort. Look at Paul in the Bible, one of the greatest Christians of all time. What did he say? I try to do good. I want to do good. I wake up every day and try to do good, but I just can't do it. Even when I try to do it, I can't do it. That's why we need somebody to help us, okay? But what I'm interested in today, and the reason we titled this Bootcamp Activate, is I actually want to teach you the psychology of how to activate a deep drive inside of you to pursue something over a long cycle of time. See, I have been coaching people for 31 years. If you think I wake up every day motivated, you would have lost your mind, okay? I wake up just like you do. I got a 9-month-old daughter who wakes up, who the other night when I was in charge, woke up at 3 a.m, decided to have a party from 3 to 4 a.m. in the morning. Any of y'all ever had that happen? She's just looking at me, smiling, having fun. I'm like, will you please go back to sleep for the love of goodness? And then she wanted to get back up at 6 o'clock. So I have a daughter, I have a family, I have a wife, I have a business. I have the same things you do. I do not wake up motivated like you do, even though I write motivational books, even though I have been speaking on motivation for 31 years, even though I've coached some of the top people in the world. I would tell you, after coaching some of the top people in the world, they burn out just like you do. Top athletes, top performers, they get tired just like you do. They wear down just like you do, okay? So, but what do? They know how to activate something deep inside of them over and over and over again. Does everybody see that? So I'm going to show you today, step by step, some of the methodology I use to activate. The word activate means to initiate. I don't feel like prospecting today. I don't feel like following up today. I don't feel like dealing with a difficult person today. I don't feel like doing these things. What do you do when you don't feel like it? Because in this book, I make the argument that you can know your purpose, still not be motivated. See, I can know I'm supposed to be coaching. I can know that I was put on this earth to coach people, and I could wake up today and still not be motivated. How many of you could feel that way? Yes or no? So what do you do then? See, we're kind of taught that if you just know your purpose, life's going to come easy to you. Life's going to be easy. You're going to know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to wake up with motivation every day. I don't believe that. I believe I can know my purpose and still not be motivated. So we're going to focus today in how to activate. How to activate a deep drive inside of you that we call prey drive. Prey drive is prevalent in animals, specifically a dog. A dog has a prey drive, which is the dog's ability to stalk, capture, and kill prey. It's the dog's ability to pursue something. Prey drive is pursuit. What are we going to pursue? I'm going to show you today how we pursue something, even when you don't feel like it. Right, Josh? So let me ask you this question. I don't care what you've done in the first quarter of this year. How many of you still think there's a lot of time left in this year to have the best year you've ever had? How many think you can literally shift gears right now, today, and finish strong? See, I was a basketball coach for a long time. And many times I may start off the game slow and then finish the game strong and win the game. And it was who had the momentum at the end of the game who won the game. It was who had the momentum at the end of the game that won the game, not who always started with the momentum. See, I would get up sometimes 20 points early in the game. I'd be like, oh, Lord. Because many times when we got up early in the game, you know what happened? We got comfortable and we started to relax. This is a big mistake people make. I have a good day of sales and then I relax. I have a good month of sales and then I relax. I had a big day of sales and then I get comfortable. And that comfort is really something that suppresses the prey drive. So if you're ready to have the best year of your life, make a shift here today, significant shift here today. Over 1,300 people registered for this event online. We got a nice studio audience here at the lodge. If you've never been to my lodge, you need to be at this lodge because it just walking in the front door will activate your prey drive. See, I bought this lodge for $1.3 million, a steal. I got 23 acres with it when I bought it. 25 people looked at this lodge. And when I walked in, I looked at the real estate agent and all I looked at was the living room and I said, I'll take it. And she said, do you need to see the rest of it? And I said, no, I do not. If I can't figure out how to make money with this lodge, then something is wrong with me. Everybody with me? It activated my prey drive. Exposure is an activator of prey drive. So see, I'm going to show you today all the things that can flip the switch. Boom. All the things that can activate your drive to want something. And if you've lost your drive, by the way, how many of you have lost your drive over the last 6 months, let's just say? Raise your hand, please. How many of you are saying, man, I'm tired. I've been doing this a long time. It ain't working the way I want it to. Angela Baker, I see you over there in Virginia. Okay. How many of you have said it at one point, man, I had it at one time, but I lost it. I lost my swag. I lost my confidence. I lost my mojo. I've been there, guys. I've been there. 25 years old. I went through clinical depression for 6 months. Couldn't get out of bed. Couldn't eat. Couldn't think because I went through a devastating breakthrough while I was the head coach at a major high school. I had to pretend to be motivated every single day when I wasn't motivated. I worked 18 hours a day just to get through that depression. I know what it's like to have confidence and lose all of your confidence. Okay? I know what it's like to be at the peak and lose things. And I say to people, what takes years to build up can take seconds to tear down. So I know what it's like to have it and lose it. So this is what I've studied over the last 30 something years. How do you protect it? How do you maintain it? How do you get it? So why do we need to activate our prey drive every single day? This is very important because we go to bed tired. Remember what I'm about to tell you. We go to bed tired and we wake up hungry. Listen to this one. It all goes to zero at midnight. No matter how much you have in the bank, let me tell you something. It ain't enough. How many can agree with that? Okay. I thought I had a lot of money until I started building a $7 million greatness factory in Nashville. And the plumbing, where's my plumbing? See, here, over here, we got heating and cooling. It was $700,000 for the plumbing and the air conditioners. I'm like, what? $700,000 for the toilets? I'm like, this is crazy. Whatever you have, I would tell you is not enough. And I'm going to say this about money today. Are you making enough money to fulfill your purpose? See, I'm supposed to be building greatness factories around the country, incredibly expensive to build. I'm supposed to be helping kids with success school around the country. takes money to market, takes money to have people, takes money to do all these things. Are you making enough money to fulfill your purpose? Whatever that purpose is. This is the way to use money. Right, Kevin Bowen? Take the money from the business, fulfill the purpose. I call it passion projects, passion investing. I take the money from my coaching business and I fuel my dreams to help other people. And sometimes that can be really expensive. So why do we need to activate our pray drive every day? Number one, so we can do what we want to do. Number one. Number two, so we can become what we are supposed to become. If you sat in on my meetings every single day and you listen to my sales team, if you heard the phone calls of the number of people who said, I want to be coached by Coach Burt, but Josh, I don't what? Have the money. You don't get the money until you have the skills. You with me? Until you invest the money, you never get the skill. And until you get the skill, you don't make the money. Does everybody see where I'm going with this? Okay, so the reason we need to activate this pray drive every day is because you're supposed to become something. And I don't ever want to let money or these things keep you from becoming it. Whatever it is you're supposed to become. Number three, so you can have a better life. I was doing a talk in Salt Lake City with Ed Mylett. It was me, Ed Mylett, and Tim Grover. All great, great guys. And Mylett did this talk about happiness. And I'm sitting in the audience going, where is he going with this? Because I'd never heard him talk about happiness. And here's what he said. People move toward things that make them happy. Right? When I pull up to this lodge, it makes me happy. When I'm building a greatness factory, it makes me happy. When we're helping kids with success school, it makes me happy. See, you want to have more so you can do more. That's why we got to activate the pray drive every single day. Now, I have a very basic number. I'm trying to get to a minimum of $25,000 a day in sales every single day. My real number is $41,667.67. That's the number I'm trying to get to every day. If you do $41,667.67 per day, every day, 5 days a week, that's $10 million. $10 million of revenue in my coaching company. Does everybody see that? I'm trying to get where my passive income is greater than my living expenses, which is why I buy so much real estate. Okay, I want my passive income to be greater than my living expenses. But what fuels the passive income is the coaching business. It's the primary business. Why do I need to activate the pray drive every day? What if I told you a small business can't go 3 or 4 days without selling something? How many of y'all would believe that? The other day, I'm reading the Wall Street Journal on a flight somewhere. They're talking about Amazon laid off 3,000 people. Facebook laid off 4,000 people. Some of the biggest companies in the world laying off people right now. Even a company that's worth billions of dollars cannot go for periods of time without selling something. You take that and put it into a small business, and a small business cannot go for periods of time without selling something and employ people. Yes or no? You know. If you run a small business, you understand this. Yes or no? And I'm coaching people every day, and I'm like, who's focused on making money around here? Who's focused on revenue? And they're like, well, we do this, and we do this, and we do this. I'm like, the number one thing that business needs to be doing is producing revenue. The business needs money, and it needs money to grow, to scale, to expand, to market. How many of you would agree with this? Yes or no? Well, what happens when I roll in Linda Jones, and I go, man, I don't feel like prospecting today. I don't feel like doing this today. See, that's why the pray drive has to be activated every single day. King David was a great king in the Bible. He had a mindset. It's going to be a fight, but we're going to find a way to win. You know, when he got distracted, his own troops talked him out of going into battle one year. Stay home. It's okay. We'll be good. That's when he got distracted. The word distract means to pull apart. It means to be pulled in too many directions. He got distracted. Bathsheba show. His whole life went downhill, okay? Because he got distracted, okay? So the reason we need to activate the pray drive every day because it makes achieving our goals easier when the pray drive is activated. Number three, so we can step into our greatness, okay? Now, I'm building a greatness factory, not a complacency factory. David, you with me there? Nancy, you with me? Okay, you're going to see me lean in a lot so I can see your faces because I have a strong astigmatism and I wear very strong contacts and I'm trying to see your faces, Ryan Collins, right? Because I got a big screen in front of me where I can see everybody. So when you think about this, what we're trying to do is get you to step into your greatness. See, some of you came today and your identity is what we need to work on. Let me tell you my identity from 22 to 25. Here's what I said. I'll be a good coach, but I'll never be a championship coach. When I started this business, I'll be a good speaker, but I'll never be one of the top speakers in the world. When I started writing books, I'll be a good author, but I'll never be a Wall Street Journal bestselling author. Listen to the way I was talking to myself. And that's what I became, Gary. Became a good coach, not a championship coach. I became a good author, but not a Wall Street Journal bestselling author. Right? See, I had to change my identity. I had to start saying, I'm not a coach, I'm a championship coach. I'm not a speaker, I'm one of the top speakers in the world. I'm not an author, I am a Wall Street Journal bestselling author. Everybody see how I'm changing my identity? Yes or no? This is the prey drive that it takes to step into our greatness. You were not hardwired to live a mediocre life. The word mediocre means halfway up the mountain. The word complacency means gradual settling to a place of mediocrity. Anybody send their kids off to school this morning and say, hey, man, here's what I want you to do. Here's a goal. Go gradually settle to a place of mediocrity. Anybody do that this morning? Then why do adults do it? You know why they do it? Is because they allow their prey drive to be deactivated. They allow, as my buddy Tim's story says, to have life knock the shout out of them. At one time you had it, and then you lost it. At one time you pursued your dreams, and then you quit pursuing your dreams. Because somewhere along the way, you allowed someone to convince you that you could be good, but you'd never be the best. This is an identity problem. I asked my mom one day, I think she's going to come over to the lodge later. I pinned her down one day. I said, Mom, when did I make a decision to really step into my greatness when I was a kid? And she couldn't tell me one moment. She said it had a lot to do with the way I raised you, a lot to do with the conditioning I gave you, a lot to do with how I spoke to you. She said, the way I spoke to you from the time you were a kid is you're going to do great things in the world. You are hardwired for greatness. You can do anything you want to do, son. See, she was instilling in that me. So I'm sitting there with my 9-month-old daughter holding her, and I'm telling her that. You're destined for greatness. You're going to do big things. In our house, we do big things. I'm telling my 2.5-year-old son, you're going to do big things in your lifetime. I'm telling my 10-year-old daughter, you have skills and talents and abilities. You're going to do something big in the world. And maybe that sets in later in life when they're doing great things and they go, you know what? I remember my dad taught me that when I was 10 years old, when he spoke that into me. See, enough people don't have people speaking this into them right now. And you need somebody doing this. Now, what this is going to take is a decision. And how many people, if you've been coached by me, how many people know what the word decide means? It means what? To kill off. The word decision means to cut away. You're cutting something away. What are you most likely cutting away? Amateur desires. Amateur feelings. Amateur attitudes. Amateur habits. I need to level up my knowledge, my skills, my desire, and my confidence. I was watching this. We got tickets for my daughter to go to see Taylor Swift the other night. And she didn't start performing until 10 p.m. Rained for 4 or 5 hours, thunderstorm. She could have canceled the concert. 70,000 people stood out in the pouring down rain to watch her perform. And she played until 2 a.m. in the morning. She could have cut it short. She could have canceled it. But she showed up and she gave them everything they paid for. And we paid for those tickets. See, I got something to hold over my daughter's head for a long time now. Last night, she didn't want to do something. I'm like, remember them Taylor Swift tickets I just paid for? Go ahead and do the dishes, girl. Come on. Now, here's my point. I'm watching a documentary because me and Emmeline Rose is our youngest daughter. We stayed home and we watched a documentary on Taylor Swift. And mama and our daughter went to the Taylor Swift concert. And there's a part in that documentary where they tell Taylor Swift, her agent calls her and says, you were not nominated for a Grammy this year, for an award. You were not nominated for an award this year. And for a second, she's disappointed because she's been winning all these awards. And instead of blaming people, instead of making excuses, instead of pointing fingers, here's what she says. I just need to write a better album. See, that's a professional. I don't blame the economy. I don't blame the government. I don't blame my employees. I don't blame my wife. I don't blame my kids. I don't blame my parents for how they raised me. When things are not going well, I go, I just need to get better. This is a decision you got to make every single day. And this is ultimately why you got to go pro. So let's look at the habits of the amateurs. And when you're thinking about the habits of the amateurs, here's what I want you to know. Okay. Here's what amateurs do versus professionals. I want you thinking, am I an amateur or am I a pro? Number one, how many of you would like to make the pro money? Okay. See, I can show you how to make the pro money. I've done speaking engagements and generated over $500,000 in 2 hours at speaking engagements. I can show you step by step how to generate revenue if that's what you want to do. I was a high school basketball coach. I never made more than $60,000 a year. I worked 80 hours a week times 4 weeks. That's 320 hours a month. I never made more than $60,000. And I can do engagements today and generate $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in a matter of 2 hours. Okay. Now, how many of you would like to know how to do that? Raise your hand, please. Okay. How many houses, Angela Baker, do you have to sell to produce that? She's one of my favorite students. That's why I call on her all the time. Now, so when you think about it, this is the amateurs. Number one, amateurs talk about other people. See, when I'm around other people, this is the first thing I notice is their language. The language of an amateur is what, Susan? Amateurs get together and talk about other people. This is what amateurs do. How many of you have ever been around a big-time person and you started talking about other people and they go, look, I ain't got time for that. How many of y'all did that? See, I had a conversation this morning with somebody and they started talking about something that happened yesterday. The first thing I said is, I ain't got time to talk about yesterday. I got a lot of people. I got over 1,000 people coming to an event online. I got great people who've driven and flown in from all over the country, from Canada. Listen, I ain't got time to talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday is finite. It is fixed. It cannot be changed. The future is infinite, holds unlimited possibility, okay? So we could sit on here for 10 minutes and talk about who did what, who didn't do this, and who didn't do that. And they got all these things going on in their life. Hey, look, excuse is a self-proclaimed opt-out, okay? If I go 3 days without calling my mother, who's 60, 61, 62 years old, I'll call my mom, and you know what she'll say? Who is this? I'll say, what do you mean? It's your firstborn son. Who? She said, I read your book, Million Dollar Follow-Up. You said to call people 7 to 15 times. You go 3 days without calling your mother who brought you into the world? You know, I say, but mom, I'm out there in the world. I'm in Denver and I'm in Florida. I'm in here and I'm helping all these people. She said, yeah, I get it. We call that in our house an excuse, which is a self-proclaimed opt-out clause. That's how my mom says to me. You can tell me whatever you want to. You got a minute to call your mother. Yes or no? Let's give a hand for all the moms on here, by the way. Let's give them a hand right now. Because if it wasn't for those tough mamas. There you go. Because if it wasn't for those tough mamas, we wouldn't be where we are today. Trust me. Okay. So number one, amateurs talk about things. I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to do this one day. They talk about other people who are doing it. Professionals don't talk about it. You have to believe, instead of emulating other people, there's a period where you emulate another person. But at some point, do you not have to become one of those people? Yes or no? See, I grew up reading Stephen Covey books, and I emulated Covey for about 8 years. Everything Covey said, I said. Cut my hair like him, everything. I was like a little miniature Stephen Covey. And I taught the seven habits like Covey did, and I spoke like he did, and I had the same posture he did, and I would go watch him speak, and for 7 years, whatever he said, I said. That's emulation. Then, after 8 years of this, I started going, okay, I think I got a message. There's something I want to say. I don't want to emulate Covey. I want to become the next Covey. Did everybody see that? Karen Maxwell, you with me? Karen's bringing me down to Mexico to speak at one of her events coming up. And I am open to go to Mexico anytime anybody would like to invite me. Okay. So when you think about this, number two, this is a habit of an amateur, inconsistency. Now let's address this. Amateurs listen to their feelings. Professionals do not listen to their feelings. JT Stewart, you follow me? See, I don't always feel like doing things I have to do. But when I was writing this book, Flip the Switch, I actually found a new definition of passion, Brittany. And guess what that definition was? And I don't know why I've never seen this before. I always define passion as irresistible belief for motive or action. That was my definition. It's an irresistible belief for motive or action. Motive means to move. Action means to get into something, to initiate. Guess one definition of passion? To suffer. One definition of passion is to suffer. You know what that means? I'm willing to suffer for a period of time. Tell me this is not a lost art in our society today. I'm willing to suffer to have something. Because what I want is greater than my feelings. Okay, you're going to hear me talk about because goals today. Because goals are big reasons you do things when you don't feel like it. They're intrinsic. I do this because of this. I show up because I want to be the best. I go the distance. I touch the line because I believe it matters. When a man asks me to go 1 mile, I go 2 because of these reasons. Okay. So inconsistency and no persistence is a big habit of amateurs. You have a good day, but you can't have a good week. I was speaking last week and they told me that they had the best month they've ever had. And they were cheering and clapping. I said, great, good for y'all. What do you think I'm thinking? Show me how you can do it every month. See, 1 month of anybody can have a good month. Show me how you can do that over and over and over and over. See, the reason we admire Michael Jordan and those great players is because they didn't do it 1 year. They did it 6 years. They didn't win one championship. They won 6 championships. They persisted. They ran the race all the way to the prize. Everybody with me? I can't tell you how many people I see every day, and I'm like, man, you ain't got the engine to do this. You do not have the prey drive to go do what you're capable of doing. I work with one of the top talent agents in the world, Bernard Porter, and he managed Jerry Lee Lewis and Mr. T and all these great. He founded Jason Aldean, the country music singer, and I asked him one question. What do they have that other people don't? Can they sing better? Can they play better? He said, no. He said, they're tougher than the other people are. They can't sing better than the other people. They don't win on talent. They win on grit. He said, lots of people can sing. Okay. So he's like, all of them just have that fight to keep rolling. Okay. Third thing amateurs do is they never invest to skill up. Now I'm going to tell you a story about me writing a Wall Street Journal bestseller. How many of you'd like to write a Wall Street Journal bestselling book at some point? Raise your hand, please. How many of you'd like to write a book at some point? Raise your hand. Dave Wichert, I want to see you on that list. Okay. 81% of Americans say they want to write a book. How many of them actually do it? Then how many have actually sell more than 10,000 copies to make it a bestseller? 16 books I write, never hit the bestseller list, Wall Street Journal bestseller list. And then I get frustrated and I go, who can help me do this? And I reach out to Ed Milet. And I ask Milet, who launched your book? He said, Rory Vaden. Rory Vaden lives in Nashville. I reach out to Rory Vaden's team. I said, I would like to work with Rory to launch my new book because I want it to be a bestseller. At first, they say, he is not available. He's already booked. We'll put you with one of his other people. I call back again. And I say, you tell him Coach Burt specifically called, and I want to work specifically with him. How much is it going to cost for me to work with him? Love his coaches, but I want to work with him. They called back and they said, it's $14,000 for 3 hours. It's $28,000 for a full day. I said, okay, book it. When can we book it? I book it. I go in there. And within 3 hours, he shows me 5 strategies to make the book a Wall Street Journal bestseller. All it cost me was 14 grand. Everybody see that? The book generated over 10,000 leads for me. If we can't generate $1 million with 10,000 leads, then we need to get out of this business. Would you agree? Yes or no? I didn't write the book to make money, folks. See, a lot of people think you write a book to make money. I write the book to speak. I write the book to go out and attract people in. I write the book to do book clubs with people. I write the book to do on podcasts. I write the book to be on television shows. I write the book because there's an objective. So here's what amateurs do. They go, yeah, I really want to do it, but I don't want to spend the money. Was that an expense or an investment? Yes or no? See, if you work with me and I work with you over a period of time and you doubled or tripled your income, And I took a small portion of it and you tripled your income, would it be an expense or an investment? Okay, then. See, the way amateurs look at things is, oh my gosh, I don't want to spend any money on that. And they go cheap on everything. They never invest any money in themselves. Okay, I know people, I'll be at an airport and some there'll be a great book people reading and say, you know what, I'll get it on Amazon versus buy it here because it's $30 here and it's $26 on Amazon. And I'm like, yeah, but you're about to be on a flight. Why don't you just buy the book and read it on the plane? Yeah, but I can get it $4 cheaper on Amazon. See, this is how people think. What is the book worth if it helps you make $1 million more? Was it worth $30 or was it worth $1 million? How many of you have read a book at some point in your life and helped you increase your income? Raise your hand, please. Okay, now let me ask you a question. What was the book really worth? Was it worth what you paid for it? Was it worth a whole lot more if it gave you one tactic, one strategy, one concept? 25 years old, I borrowed $2,500 from my mother. I wanted to learn the 7 habits of highly effective people. I want to get certified in the 7 habits. I didn't have $2,500 in my bank account. I went to my mom and I said, will you loan me the money? She loans me the money. I pay her back $50 a month until I get her paid back. Those going that week has helped me generate millions and millions of dollars. Learning those habits, mastering those habits. So was that workshop worth $2,500 or was it worth millions? See, they undercharged me for it. Now, if they'd asked for a couple million, I don't know if I could have got in it. But here's the deal. I was going to figure out how to get in there any way I could. If I got to borrow the money, if I got to sell something. You know, Tim Story talks about selling his car. And he tells his mother, she's like, what are you doing selling your car? And he's like, I'm investing in the Tim Story brand. And she's like, what? Tim Story brand? He's like, yeah, my brand. And I need to go learn under this person. They sold his car, learned from it. And that set him on a path. Amateurs never do this. Here's another thing amateurs do. They dabble. I want you to think of an area right now in your life that you are dabbling. I can think of areas I'm dabbling. I'm going to call that a success trap. These are areas of your life that you're good at, but you'll never be great at until you go all in. Okay, you're good, but how much better would you be if you committed? Okay, that's dabbling. And I see it happen all the time. And I guarantee we could go around the room and every person on here could tell me a success trap that they've been in. Pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this. And I started getting text messages from one of my former employees the other night about 10 o'clock at night who worked for me for several years, who was great at a lot of things. Here's what she said. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay. I think she was on probably third or fourth glass of wine. And I hadn't heard from her in a while. And so I'm trying to go to sleep. It's 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, I understand. You know, let's talk about this tomorrow. She's like, you're supposed to be my coach, aren't you? I'm like, you are intoxicated. Okay. And I'd be happy to talk to you about this all you want tomorrow. Okay. And she wouldn't stop. She's like, come on, coach me right now. And I'm like, okay, let me coach you right now. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Yes or no? No. Okay. Then why are you doing it? I'm supposed to be working with kids. I'm supposed to be doing this. Okay. Then you need to start working with kids. It's your life, not mine. See, this is somebody who is really good at a lot of things. She could do anything. Anything you throw at her, do this. Yes, 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 yes. One day I said to her, you are caught in a success trap. You'll just keep doing all these things and be good at them, but you'll never be great until you commit to one thing. See, I have been coaching people for 31 years. This is what I've been doing since I was 15 years old. I have committed for a long cycle of time. I didn't dabble with it. I didn't say, okay, I'm going to do it halfway. The pros commit. And they see it through to its conclusion. Okay. And in the book, I got a whole chapter called Being a Pretender versus a Contender. Now, a pretender is not a bad person. It's just a person that really never commits. So they never become a contender of something. And I look at them and I'm like, I hear from you every now and then. It's very random and sporadic. You're all over the place with what you're trying to do. It's not real clear to me what problem you're going to solve and for whom. You see, I don't really understand what problem you solve in the world and who would pay you the most money to solve that problem. I don't really understand what your skill set is. You're still dabbling. I need you to pick a lane and be great. I need you to get that prey drive activated. See, when I look at a person, people ask me about people all the time, and I have a simple response. They don't have the prey drive to go do that. Prey drive is instinct to pursue dreams, goals, hopes, ambitions. Okay? Now, I want you to type in the chat box right there. From what I've taught you so far about the amateur and the professional, what would you say the number one thing you've taken away from this is so far? I want to see your comments. Christian, Carl, Jim Ray, type in the chat box. Commit. Stop dabbling. A dabbler, that's right. I don't even know if that's a word, but we're going to make it a word. I'm a professional dabbler. Okay. See, look at what everybody's learning. That one thing is what everybody's taking away. Okay. I want you to think about this studio audience that's in here. There's probably, as I've been talking to you, some people come to me when I'm done speaking, Gary, and they'll say, man, it's like you're talking right to me. They'll say, it's almost as if you're right inside my brain, coach. You know why? After 31 years, I know exactly what the problems are. I see people every day have the same problems. These are the problems I'm telling you. Amateurs. Amateurs make decisions. Professionals. Amateurs do not make decisions. Professionals decide. They stop dabbling. Now, if you're out there watching this, you still have a chance to upgrade to the VIP pass, which gets you an extra hour with me this afternoon from 4 to 5. So if you're out there and you want to spend an extra hour with me this afternoon, you get a one-to-one coaching. You get a one-to-one coaching session. If you have not done, how many of you have done your one-to-one coaching and thought that to be very valuable? Okay, I see the hands going up. Listen, we have one of the top one-to-one coaches in the world on our team. We have some of the top one-to-one coaches in the world on our team that'll help you get clear on what you're trying to do here. So take advantage of that. I think the upgrade's, what, $47? We open up some extra spots for that for $47, folks. Okay, let's take advantage of this. Okay, upgrade this afternoon and spend an extra hour with me. You can ask me anything you want to ask me. And then get your one-to-one coaching, because that is very integral to you getting clear. What if I told you the number one problem people come to me with is they're not clear? Okay, I'm coaching a group of 20 to 30 people who are earning $500,000 to $5 million a year. And the number one problem they have is they're not clear what their next move is. What am I supposed to be doing next? I've been successful. What's my next move? I got a method. What does that tell you? I'm coaching people trying to do their first real estate deal. That's 3 months into the business. Guess what they're trying to figure out? What's my next move? How do I get clear on this? So I've got all these tools that I use to help a person get clear in what they're supposed to be doing and what their next big move is and what their biggest opportunities are. You also get the replays when you upgrade for $47. And trust me, you're going to want to get the replays to this. Okay, so you can watch it over and over and over and over again. Okay, this is what I do. Okay, all right, let's get into prey drive. And when you think about prey drive, this has evolved. 41 years old, I'm sitting at a boot camp in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, city I very seldom go to, right down the road, but I very seldom go there. And I'm in that boot camp with a Vietnam veteran who's teaching the boot camp, and he grew up in the Oklahoma Sooners locker room. And in the Oklahoma Sooners locker room, he saw from an early age winners. How do winners act? How do they respond? What happens when you lose? Okay? And he goes into the military. He gets in the Vietnam War. His job was the war dog division of the Vietnam War. His job was to go ahead of the infantry with a dog. Dog's job was to sniff out bombs, booby traps, ambushes. He kept talking about the dog having a prey drive, P-R-E-Y-D-R-I-V-E. I listen to that term and I elbow my wife and I go, you know what? Humans have a prey drive. And I wrote down a definition of prey drive, ability to stalk, capture, and kill prey. That's a dog. And I wrote down one for humans. Ability to see something with the eyes or in the mind. And have the persistence and intensity to pursue it. 6 months ago, I spoke to 200 blind business owners. And I taught them Pray Drive. They come up to me one by one when I was finished. And here's what they said. I can't see it with my eyes, but I can see it in my mind. Thank you for activating my Pray Drive to go pursue. They just called me yesterday to come back and speak at it again this coming year. See, Pray Drive starts by seeing something you want. I want a better life. I want to live in a better house. I want to help more people. It's a dream. Starts in the mind or with the eyes. How many of you have ever saw something that you want? And you pursued it. Okay? If you ever see my wife, I saw her and I'm like, I want her. She's real pretty. And I'm like, now, she's beautiful. Now, when you think about this, it starts with the eyes or in the mind, the imagination. And I see it. And to me, that's the easy part. How many of you see something right now that you want in your life? How many of you have a vision, a dream, a goal, a hope, an ambition, something you want to better your life? You're here today. You didn't spend a day with me for nothing. Now that's not the problem. So let's put these into buckets. Number one, that Pray Drive has to be activated. It has to be activated. Number two, Diane Sullivan, there must be a persistence to this drive. And this, my friends, is where people fall off the wagon. I see it. I pursue it. But man, it's hard. Do you know when I had the vision of a greatness factory? 2016. God gave me a vision, said you're supposed to build greatness factories. You did it for kids. Now you're going to do it for adults. I've spent $100,000 on the initial plans just to draw up a greatness factory. It's 89 pages long. I was going to put it in my city where I live, outside of Nashville. I took it all the way through the city. The city came back and said, this building is too modern. It's too progressive. It's too unique. We want it to look like the other buildings. I said, I'm not trying to build a complacency factory. I'm trying to build a freaking greatness factory. Then I decided, you know what? My city is not ready for a greatness factory. I'm going to take it to Nashville, Tennessee. Went and found the building. Cost me $3.6 million to buy the building. It cost me almost $3 million to build it out. Auditorium, podcast studios. You can work there. You can learn there. It's like a little city. Guess who will come to the greatness factory, folks? The people who want to be what? Great. Guess who you like to do business with? People who want to be great. Guess who? See, I'm already renting offices. People already buying offices before it's even constructed. They're like, how fast can I get in this greatness factory? How fast, right? Every member of a greatness factory gets access to my coaching. I'm going to lead the sales meetings on Monday when I'm in town for all the people who are in there. Imagine going to work and actually getting better at work because you're working at the greatness factory. Did everybody see that? See, I had that vision in 2016. It has taken me 7 years to actually build one. The $100,000 I spent on the first plans are sitting in my office. Had to go through a whole nother process. Do it again, another $100,000 to build it in Nashville for the plans. Was it a waste of money? No. Because I went there in my mind and I saw it and I started moving toward it. Second part of Pray Drive is the persistence of Pray Drive. Persistence is the willingness to embrace the suck. It's the willing to suffer for something because you want it so bad. Third part of Pray Drive is intensity. And we're going to be unpacking these today. See, a lot of people pursue a dream and they don't have any intensity, timelines, goals, strategies. So when you're thinking about this concept of Pray Drive, I want you to think about, as we go today, where you struggle the most. Is it activation of that drive? Is it persistence of that drive? Is it intensity of that drive? Which one of these is your biggest challenge? Okay. Now, I talked earlier about how motivate means to move, right? When you are stuck in a day, and it's like, I don't feel like doing this. What's the number one thing you can do? Move. Get out and walk around. Change your environment. You move. Inspire, breathe life into. How do I get inspiration? What I listen to in the morning. See, part of me activating my prayer drive every morning is I listen to something on faith. I listen to something on business every single morning. I'm trying to get inspired. I'm trying to get life breathed into me. Activate, remember, means what? Move into action.